This morning, we pick up the second part of WBUR's exclusive story on the police interrogation of a teenager that led to her arrest and the charge of murdering her baby in Worcester. WBUR went to court and recently won the right to copy the video that Worcester police recorded of that interrogation. The video includes the girl's admission, and it raises troubling questions about the coercive power of detectives driven to extract confessions. It also suggests how innocent people might admit to crimes they didn't commit. Here's WBUR's David Boeri with part two of our series called Anatomy of a Bad Confession.
You know, you're pissed because you have to keep taking care of your mother's kids and all these other little kids, and you don't get to be a kid. And that's why you smothered Kyle, didn't you? That's why you smothered him, didn't you?
We'll never kill her.
This entire case went off the rails from the moment these two officers decided that Na Trang was guilty.
That's Ed Ryan, who became the attorney for the Vietnamese-American girl Na Trang after her arrest by Worcester police in December 2008.
This was a rush to judgment. Clean it up fast. Let's get the confession. Let's just nail it down.
Nothing carries as much weight with juries as a confession. According to years of behavioral research on jurors, not even DNA evidence has the power of these three words: I did it.
A confession is deemed to be the queen of all evidence.
Some criminologists see modern American detective work as more concerned with getting confessions than with collecting facts. This videotape shows how far Worcester police detectives went in quest of that confession.
Are you going to argue with what a scientist has to say about how your baby died? Your story is going to be that he was sleeping with his face down on the mattress and that's all you know? We'll go with that. I'll go to court with that. I really don't care.
Ed Ryan sought to get his client's confession thrown out by filing what's called a motion to suppress evidence. And in November of 2010, almost 2 years after Na Trang had been locked up to await trial, Judge Janet Kenton Walker opened a hearing in the Worcester Superior Court. Almost as soon as the judge turned on that videotape, problems started filling the screen.
Before we ask him any questions, you must understand your rights. You have the right to remain silent. Right.
Two generations of TV viewers watching cop shows have memorized Miranda warnings. But in the first 3 minutes of this video, the two detectives get it wrong because somehow they don't even know how old the suspect is.
How old are you?
17.
17? You're going to be 18 in a couple of days.
I'm going to turn 17.
Oh, you're going to turn 17 in a couple of days? Oh,
are you not 17 yet?
No.
Here's problem number one. Trang is a juvenile. And as a juvenile, she must have a meaningful or genuine opportunity to consult with an interested adult about whether she should remain silent or have an attorney present. There's no evidence she ever got that chance.
But you have spoken with your mother, and you spoke with me with your mother present yesterday, right?
Yes.
And your mother knows you're here today.
Caught by surprise that she's a juvenile, Worcester Police Sergeant Kevin Pageo tries to make the problem go away. Instead of stopping, he keeps on going, then tries to get Trang to say she had that opportunity to consult with her mother beforehand. It was okay with her, and it was okay with you, right? Pageo will continue to remind her.
It's obvious because the sergeant's trying to put it together now.
Trying to fix what they have done wrong, says retired Superior Court Judge Robert Barton. But Barton says what's done can't be undone.
I mean, that was too late. The barn door was open.
Retired State Police Detective William Powers, who now trains detectives, saw the same videotape and was equally clear. He refers to the state's highest court.
By not conforming exactly with the rules as the court has laid them out, that unfortunately sort of doomed this from the very beginning.
After Judge Kenton Walker listened to the testimony of Sergeant Pageo, she concluded the detective was not credible. She ruled that the detectives never gave Trang a genuine opportunity for a meaningful consultation. Had the police waited for just 2 days, Trang would have turned 17 and the police would not have had a problem. But getting that confession seems to have been their priority.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're going to go now. Cut the
I'm not lying.
Here was problem number two for the police and the prosecution. Watching the tape, the judge found that Trang was a frightened, meek, emotionally compromised teenager who never understood the implications of her statements.
My name's Joe Early, and I'm the Worcester County District Attorney.
And because of those two Worcester detectives, Joe Early's ability to use Truong's confession to prosecute her was wiped out when the judge ruled it was inadmissible.
Mistakes were made,
says Early, who takes great pains and even the passive voice to avoid naming the mistakes or the mistake makers. He will say nothing critical of the Worcester Police Department, even though if there were a crime in this case, it would now go unpunished.
They do very good work, and we have a great working relationship with them.
Yet Judge Kenton Walker took the further step of throwing out Truong's confession on a second set of grounds, which would make it harder for the district attorney to get a ruling reversed by a higher court.
Please believe me.
I don't believe you, because I believe the scientists. I believe the doctors who told me that they can tell by inspecting your son's body that he was smothered.
To extract her confession, Sergeant Pageau and his partner told Truong a series of what the judge called knowingly false statements, like the one you just heard. The doctors had said no such thing. The judge described a pattern of deception, trickery, and implied promises that led to the confession. First came the lie. Second came the promise.
We can help you. We can get you help. Your first thing you have to do is admit you have a problem.
Third came the suggestion of rewards. If Truong confessed, the cops would keep the matter in juvenile court.
No, it goes like this. You tell us what happened. We walk right out here to special crimes, juvenile,
where punishment is minimal, if any, Pageau tells her. But, and here comes the threat, if Truong doesn't tell them what happened...
If this drags out, then we'll push to try you as an adult. I don't really care.
And if she does go to adult court, all bets are off, he warns, because he'll bring in the medical examiner and the evidence, that really doesn't exist, that she smothered her child, and tell the jury how uncooperative she's been.
I told your mother I don't care about her, and I don't care about you. I care about that baby.
With notable naivete, Na believed what the officers told her, concluded the judge, since, after admitting she had smothered Kyle, all she wanted to know was whether she and her brothers would now be able to go to a foster home.
One thing I did tell my wife while the child was being interrogated, thank God we have courts and judges,
observed retired Superior Court Judge Robert Barton. He too saw the tape and read Judge Kenton Walker's ruling that none of Truong's statements were made voluntarily and therefore couldn't be used on those grounds as well.
If you left it up to the police to decide whether you're guilty or not, that kid would have been strung up in the backyard that night. Because in their minds, she's guilty. Give her the maximum punishment. Next case.
The judge's ruling left the district attorney, Joe Early, and his case without that queen of evidence, the confession. But he didn't appeal her ruling.
We made a determination at that point that an appeal was not a viable option.
And going ahead with the murder case wasn't a viable option either. So at the end of August, Early sent his first assistant to court to drop the case. The legal process is called nel pros for short.
There was no longer a confession in the case, nor any physical evidence. So at that point, the determination was made to nel pros the case.
As you just heard him say, there was no physical evidence, which raises the question of why the two detectives presumed Truong guilty in the first place. Remember the autopsy? It states that the cause of death is undetermined. And the death certificate reads, asphyxial death consistent with but not exclusively diagnostic of suffocation. Contributing factors, it says, are streptococcal pharyngitis, strep throat, and trachea bronchitis, which belong to a history of respiratory problems, including asthma, that required a nebulizer. And the boy's body temperature was 101 degrees an hour after he was dead. Whatever else may have happened to Kyle Truong, he was a sick boy. Na Truong had been charged and kept in jail for 2 years and 8 months on a little more than that confession. The product, said the judge, of methods potentially coercive to the point of making an innocent person confess to a crime.
Yes.
What was it like to get out?
I can't even explain it. Everything's been pretty hectic. Like, I got into school, I got a job, but it's been great.
I'm sitting across from Na Truong. She's 3 years older now. And the week of her 20th birthday also brings the third anniversary of Kyle's death.
Of course, the tape shows that you told them you smothered Kyle. So why would you confess to committing something that you didn't do?
It was a pretty long 2 hours, and all I heard throughout those 2 hours is that they're going to give me help if I confessed. And so that... I'm sorry.
Okay. Truong apologizes for breaking down. She's been free for 3 months, but she's still too close to that room at the Worcester police station.
Have you ever thought of saying something, if you could, to the detectives?
Well, when I first got in jail, I was really mad. Well, I wasn't mad, but upset that they would even ever thought of that. And even brought my little brother into it.
The little brother whose death was investigated and ruled to be a SIDS death, but which the detectives claimed was her first murder victim.
I remember them telling me they got the autopsy.
The autopsy they were lying about.
And it didn't make no sense to me whatsoever. They were just yelling at me, and I don't know, I was just so tired. I really didn't pay attention. I never thought of the consequences. I just said it because they wanted me to.
When did you realize the significance of the consequences of what you had just told the police?
When they snapped those handcuffs on me.
So were there any lessons learned here? District Attorney Joe Early.
Like I said, Worcester does a very good job. This case here, I believe, is an aberration.
The district attorney says that in January there will be a training session for state and Worcester police detectives on interrogating criminal suspects. And he's established a protocol of sending a prosecutor to work hand-in-hand with Worcester detectives on homicide cases.
The purpose is to always get better. If you ignore your mistakes, you're destined to repeat them again. So you always want to learn from your mistakes.
Na Truong, who's struggling to build a future, says she wants to become a psychologist. She's not angry anymore.
Over the years, I learned that they were just doing their job. But, I mean, really, they were just forcing it on me.
And what has the Worcester Police Department learned? And what steps has it taken to hold its detectives accountable? Or to make sure what happened to Na Truong doesn't happen again? There's no indication the department has taken any action. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
After repeatedly not responding to requests for comment, the Worcester Police Department has now released a statement in response to David Boeri's report. It reads in part, quote, "The detectives involved in this case continue to perform their duties as investigators with the full support and confidence of the police administration," unquote. Again, that from Worcester Police. Our reports on the confession of Na Truong were produced by Missy Webb and George Hicks and edited by Martha Little. Find more on the story and watch the police interrogation yourself at our website, wbur.org.